Welcome to Collaborating, the podcast series of the Collaborative for Business Development. Well, ho, ho, ho. It's the holiday season, and here's the present that very few people in business look forward to unwrapping, the annual performance review. Here in our third episode of Collaborating, I was going to talk about another sales or marketing issue, but a couple of things conspired over the past week to make me change course here. First, about a week ago, a long-standing client of ours called to say that he was frustrated with the performance review process at his own firm, in fact, that there was none, is none, and that he really wanted to put some kind of process into place, that everything was rather haphazard, that things came back at him that were not part of his job description, and that generally there was a lot of issues around that issue of annual performance reviews. And then, several days ago, on the 19th, actually, in the Wall Street Journal, page 7 of the B section, the marketing section, in the Managing and Careers section, there was an article entitled, Work Reviews Lose Steam. Some companies find new ways to motivate, exchange feedback. A few scrap the practice altogether. With that as the backdrop, and those as the instigators, and given that we at the Collaborative do have definitely a point of view on the whole subject of performance reviews, we wanted to take this time to talk about the subject a little bit. So this article in the Wall Street Journal starts off by talking about all the firms, supposedly, that are dropping performance reviews, saying, quote, while most continue to perform the awkward rite of passage once or twice a year, a few companies, about 1%, are scrapping the formality altogether. Nearly 60% of human resources executives graded their own performance management systems a C or below, according to a 2010 survey by Simpson Consulting, Inc. and World at Work, unquote. I certainly agree that most people aren't great at giving reviews and that it does cause a lot of anxiety. But in our experience, most anxiety and disconnects about performance reviews derive from three basic causes. First, poorly or incompletely written job descriptions. Without that firm foundation of a well-considered job and a job description that is explicit in responsibilities and expectations, confusion or disagreement invariably results at review time. Second, the absence of a formal review process, where the format and all the rules aren't understood by everyone involved and in advance. Third, the absence or even discouragement of employee input and feedback to the review and to the manager. And I think I'd probably add a fourth, which is not doing some kind of interim feedback, having some kind of feedback time period less than a year, be it a quarter, be it half a year, something, to give that kind of feedback that people need. Now, the article goes on to cite a company in Australia that eliminated formal reviews and got rid of the distribution curve and individual performance bonuses, instead giving everyone an 8% salary bump, as well as group performance bonuses and stock options. Well, that's great. So I guess this firm resides in Australia's version of Lake Wobegon, where everyone's above average. Or maybe it's a part of the Soviet Union. I don't know. But the article goes on to say, quote, without required documented reviews, some employees may be able to slack off without repercussion. Others may fail to be recognized for their achievements. Additionally, companies that bypass reviews say it places a lot of responsibility on both managers and employees to have those difficult conversations that can fall through the cracks when not mandated. I don't know about you, but my only response is, duh, you think? The truth is that with some work and dedication, firms, we believe, can have a solid, motivating performance review process. And it starts, really, by first evaluating job descriptions for clarity in these following six areas. First, who the employee reports to and who are the other key stakeholders to that role and that position, that person and that role. Second, the role's major areas of accountability. Third, measures of performance for this person or role. And as many of these as possible should be quantitative. Fourth, unique working conditions or related requirements. Fifth, the critical success factors for the role, which include not only actions but also behavioral aspects. Sixth, competencies, which include domain, technical, and soft skills. Now, even with this firm foundation of ultra-clear job descriptions, performance reviews aren't a snap. I'd never say that. But they are much easier for all parties. Looking at number one, which is the one about who the employer reports to and other stakeholders, in relation to the other points, if you construct job descriptions with objective criteria or metrics, you can seek the input of other stakeholders on these objective criteria. This additional feedback lends credibility to the whole process. You know, as an example, it becomes not just about you and the employee who face it. In some circumstances, we don't have a great relationship with some of our employees. So this makes it more objective by getting the other inputs. Number two, the role's major areas of accountability, with a smattering of number three, which is the measures of performance, is typically all that's written, and in our experience, not that well. I won't go into the detail here of how to write great job descriptions. Just give us a call if you'd like to discuss that. But suffice it to say that having a great one is the only way to have a good experience in performance reviews down the road. So what about the review itself? You need a process that mirrors both your job description and your compensation plans. The process should provide a rating system and process for evaluating the critical success factors for individual contributors or managers, reviewing the role and its responsibilities. In other words, how, if at all, has the role evolved, or should it, from the original job description? And how a manager should help employees with personal development, their career planning. The forms and the process really should also provide for tactical goals and objectives, things that need to be accomplished over the subsequent year. Now, the process we endorse is a series of statements, team focus, domain knowledge, etc., followed by a scale of five choices ranging from needs improvement, unsatisfactory, to exceptional. Most categories, be ye a manager or individual contributor, are the same, but there are some additional questions for managers. The form also includes other points to be completed by the manager and then discussed. These are goals and objectives, role and responsibilities, critical success factors, development plan, and goals and objectives for the next review period. There are dozens, though, if not hundreds, of online and other software tools for performance reviews. So I'm certainly not saying that this approach is the best one, the only one, the one you should go with. Just that we do think that some kind of formal process is what people need and are looking for. But now here's the part that's normally left out: the employee's input and feedback to the review. And here's something else that never happens when someone joins a company: getting an overview of the review process, tools, and the forms that will be used, and expectation setting about their role in this review process. Of course, we do recommend that this happen, but let's say it doesn't. It's still important to involve the reviewee. Have the employee review themselves as well. Some of the questions they could answer include: what objectives and job standards did I fall short of meeting? What are my specific accomplishments during this appraisal period? What do I like best about my job, least? What are the major responsibilities in my current job? To what extent do I fulfill them? And there's many more. But by answering questions like this, the employee can be as prepared for the review as the manager. And certainly, in discussing the answers to these and looking at what the manager has written, there's going to be a lot of fodder there for discussion and, you know, probably some disconnects. So maybe, as the title of this article says, quote-unquote, work reviews are losing steam, but the alternative, which seems to be, in most cases, an anything-goes approach, doesn't appear to be more successful. Do the upfront work with a good job description, have interim, less formal reviews at least once a quarter to give more immediate feedback and avoid surprises, involve the employee in the process. If you do all this, everyone will get more from reviews. But as I did say, we don't claim that we have all the answers to this issue, and certainly there could be less formal, less process-driven approaches to the review process. I'd be very interested to hear from you on this subject. Do you agree that reviews are losing steam? Do you know of or use a better approach? Please respond to me by posting comments to this podcast at www.the-collaborative.com/blog or emailing me at mike at the-collaborative.com. And until next time, keep on collaborating.